Welcome to the Geniuses of Copywriting podcast, a peek into the minds and strategies of the world's greatest copywriters, marketers, and persuasion experts. And now, here's your host, Brian Casangina.
Hey, so thank you for joining us on this webinar. This is a real exciting one. I've got here with me today Miladin Stojanovic. Did I get that right, Miladin? I'm usually bad at these things.
Perfectly.
Yeah. So I'm really excited about today's call because I'm really fascinated with what you do and the company you keep, the kind of clients that you have, which people, I think, will be very interested in how you actually go through your processes. I'll leave that up to you. But for anyone who doesn't know, Miladin is a freelance copywriter, but his main client, if this is correct, Miladin, is amazing.com. And if you've ever studied this particular website, you know that they're one of the top direct response marketers online right now. They have got great page copy. They've got excellent funnels, amazing strategy in place. And a lot of that that you see coming out to your inbox and to your web browser is come from the brain of this man. So I first met Miladin online a little while back, and we've been sort of chatting back and forth ever since. We've been interested in each other's clients, me with Mindvalley at the moment, and you with amazing.com. So I was really fascinated to actually do something like this where I could dive in deep, to exactly what you do. So for those that don't know me too well, I'm the senior copywriter for Mindvalley as I record this. I also do a lot of freelance work as well, but I'm actually working with Mindvalley at the moment as a senior copywriter, whereas Miladin is a freelancer. I've been doing this for about 15 years, many different multiple freelance clients over the years. And then, but when the opportunity came up to work with Mindvalley and Vishen, the CEO, and Ajit, the one of the co-founders, to me, that was a very exciting opportunity. So stay tuned with me as well. I'll be doing some other presentations on the secrets I've learned there and the things that I've done in that. But today we're all about Miladin. We're all about amazing.com. This is why I'm so fascinated. So please give us the story of where you came from, how you got where you are today, and how you came into contact with amazing.com, all of that, because I'm really geeking out over this. I'm really excited to find out for myself. So please share.
Awesome. Thank you, Brian. Hello to you and all the listeners who joined us. Thank you for this great introduction. As you said, my name is Miladin Stojanovic. I live in Serbia in Southeast Europe. And I've been doing this copywriting thing for about 3 years, only copywriting. Before that, I was more like a generalist marketer. I was doing paid ads and a little copy and strategy and a bunch of other things. I mean, you know how it is when you start first time something. Yeah. There's a bunch of things in front of you, and then over time you see, you try to pick your niche and your scope of work that you're most interested in, that you most love. So for me, that was copywriting. I stumbled accidentally on copywriting. I didn't have a clue what it is. I thought that's, some creative guy, sitting behind his computer and write something. And since in my native language, I never had more than C in my written assignments, so I couldn't write anything. So when I first heard the term copywriting, I said, no, that's not, that's not for me. That's writing. I have no idea how to write. Mm. But then over time, you learn that it's the least writing and more it's assembling, composing, and, taking all these various pieces and making a compelled story that people are persuaded by to make an action. So over the time, I learned from great copywriters such as Dan Kennedy, Gary Halbert, John Carlton, Gary Van Savang, and bunch of others. And most work I did was here locally in my country. I never had the guts to try my skills in the big markets such as English speaking markets. You know, you look all these guys who are doing it, whose English is their first language. Obviously, English is not my first language. So you look all these guys say, okay, what am I going to do? You know, they know the market. They know the players in that market. They speak the language. What am I going to do in that market? But now, over the time, I decided to give it a try, to give it a shot. And with a friend from country that is our neighbor here from Croatia, I did some Facebook ads. He had some really nice clients. I can't reveal who are they for their countries, but there were some known names in the online marketing world, and I wrote some Facebook ads for him and some landing pages, and I got to use that as my portfolio samples for some bigger clients, bigger for me, but not that big, which eventually led to contacting with Matt Clark from Amazing to land them as a client, which is I'll tell that story a little later. Yeah. It's a great tip for copywriters, you know, who are just beginning, just starting out. So from there, I'm now working mostly for them. I also have a client such as Corel, the software company, who is in graphic design, knows about Corel Draw and other their tools, and some other clients who are not that big names, but very, very cool clients to work with. Back to this story. This might be useful for everyone who's just starting out as a copywriter and doesn't have portfolio. The first thing, if you want to find clients, if you don't have portfolio, if you don't have the work to show up to people, you're nothing. I mean, no one's going to consider you for anything if you don't have don't have something to show. And it's you know, it's understandable. And why should anyone trust you just based on your word? So my first sample that I had was for product that doesn't even exist yet. So it's a software tool that I had an idea for, and I have a friend who is a developer who's working on it for 6 months. I should really rush him up a little. I sit down. In order to help him understand what I want that software to do, I wrote a sales page for that software for him to use it as a guideline. But then I said, okay, cool, this is sales page. I can use that as my writing sample. So I used that to get my first client. Then I used that combined word to get my third client, etc. So if you're just starting out as a copywriter and you don't have portfolio, okay, sure, you can reach out to three people and do copy for free for them, but you can also do something, some product that exists, or you already had an idea for that product and write a copy for it as that product really exists and it's on the market, and then use that to show to people. And it's not that big of a deal, but at least it's something. It's better that than not to have anything under your copy belt.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Something that I wish I'd learned earlier in my career, when I sort of knew that I was learning all the right things in copywriting, but as for getting someone to actually give me money for that, you know, that was another story. And I did a similar thing with reaching out people to do free copy. Sometimes I offered like $1 or something. I don't remember which it was, but that one of those type of jobs eventually led to a client who I wrote what I call the $10,000 a month eBay listing, back when that was like a decent amount of money to earn per month on eBay. And as small as that testimonial was, you know, I built up my whole copywriting business on that as my kind of core testimonial. So that the same way that you did as well. So that's something I wish I learned earlier in my career.
Yeah, that's something that I struggled a lot when I began. As you said, I loved it if someone told me this when I was was starting out. When I started out, it was a big mess. You know, you learn something from this guy, you learn something from that guy, from this course, from that book, and then you have all this combined knowledge, and you know that this stuff works, but you have no idea how to, you know, put it together, how to do everything, and you need some guideline process to make it work. You know, and eventually in copywriting, you in my formal education, I'm an electrical engineer, so you know, very quickly you see similarities. You know, when we I'm specialized in industrial automation. So when you want to make some machine that does something, that automates some kind of process, you first start from the end. You know, you first start with, okay, what do I want this machine to do? What product I want at the end? Then when you have that, you okay, what's the in the input side? You know, what do we put inside this machine as ingredients? And then based on these data, you start assembling the machine, and then you try to optimize the resources and everything. Same with copy. When you write copy, you start with the end. You know, you start with what do we want this copy to achieve? Is it to make a sale? Is it to make to create a lead, to generate a lead? Is it to generate some social engagements, likes, shares, whatever? Is it to just be some kind of brand awareness campaign? What's the goal? Then what do you have as input information? What do you have? What materials do you have to work with? And then you try to see, okay, now I know what I want. I know what I have. Okay, let's see how I can, you know, make this into something useful, interesting, and valuable for people to consume and to take the action that I want them to take. It's a very simple and obvious thing now, but it was very confusing for me when I started out. You know, it took some time to clarify this, and you know, once you know that, everything in copywriting becomes much, much, much easier.
Yeah, it does, and I'm really fascinated by such a scientific approach to what you're doing. You know, I see a lot of people due to the kind of emotional nature of the whole thing, they go all in and they try and do everything without much strategy. But that's a real scientific strategy place to go from.
Yeah, you know, well, that's the normal way of doing things. You know, when you first start out, you're tactical. I'm sure that's the case with you. It was the case with me. I'm sure that's the case with a lot of people. When you start out, okay, how long should my headline be?
Yeah.
What words should I put here? Should every every letter in my world be capitalized, you know, first letter in the word?
Yeah, yeah.
Bunch of other things that really doesn't make sense when you understand the essence of everything. But that's normal when you start out. You know, when you play basketball, you're focused on the technique. But I'm also, I've been studying karate for a long time. I'm a black belt master in karate. So up until the black belt, you're nothing but say dumb monkey. You know, you just repeat things. You don't think about the move. You don't think about the punch or the block. You just do it. You see your coach doing it, you're doing it. But as soon as you become a black belt master, you begin to understand what it means. What's the flow of this, you know, of these movements? How one block leads to one punch, which leads to another block, etc. So you start to think about these things, and it doesn't matter if your hand starts from here or here. From that moment, it doesn't matter. Until that point, these things matter to you. You don't know for better. But from that moment, you start to realize, okay, there's much more than just tactics. There's strategy. There's philosophy. There's a bunch of other things that actually makes you a real master. So that's the same as copywriting. It's normal to focus on tactical things when you start, because you don't know better than that. But as you progress, you see that it's not important that tactical side. It is important, but not that important, but these other things are more important. So it doesn't matter is your call to action button going to be red or yellow, maybe some A/B testing later, but it doesn't matter. It's more important for you to have a compelling message to influence people, to persuade people, to make them to lure them into your in your copy, so they don't they can't stop reading. They don't want to stop reading it or watching it. So that all comes with time.
Yeah, that's important. The strategic part of it. I mean, I did the same as you, and just was all about the tactics at first. But then when you start to think more about the strategy, you know, when you have the right strategy, you have the right audience, the right people, the right offer, things like that would come sort of coming together in a intangible offer that you, it's hardest to describe from a tactical point of view, you know, that can overcome, you know, if you don't have such good copy, if people would still want to buy it, they'll buy it. Whereas even the best headlines in the world won't suddenly transform a ordinary strategy into a winning product.
Yeah, that's right. Just one thing about the tactics and strategy. When I started out for the first few months, I was the biggest collector of copywriting formulas ever. So whenever I could find some copywriting formula, I would, you know, save it, print it out. You know, this is the best thing ever.
Yeah.
But after some time, you realize, okay, you don't need any other formula than the time-tested simple ADA. That's the only formula you ever need. So get their attention, spike their interest, get their desire, and take them and make them make some sort of action. So nothing else besides that needs you. And all other formulas are derived from that one. But again, you'll learn that over time.
Yeah, and I can't wait to get into that, into more specific stuff on that, you know, in this webinar. So that'll be really cool. So how did you go from you know, a beginner copywriter to landing a client like Amazing? Because for most copywriters who are up and coming, that would be a great client to land, and no doubt that it is for you. But you mentioned that you started off small with your portfolio. Is that basically all you did? Just kept building on that?
I kept building on that portfolio. So every job, that's what John Carlton says, being a shameless whore.
Yeah.
Phase. So basically any work that I could doesn't matter what money it was in stake, I would do it, because I knew that at some point I'm going to have a client that is in similar niche, and I'm going to show him what I've done. So it doesn't matter. Look, when you're a copywriter, you can write any kind of copy. You just need a little practice maybe to write B2B or to write some technical copy or B2C. So maybe it needs a little tweaking and adapting to that style. But in general, you can write any kind of copy you want. You know what people want, what their desires are. You know how to create message around that. But it's a lot harder to sell. For example, if I would have a client who is in, robotics industry, it's hard for me to persuade them that I can write good copy if I only show him, t-shirt copy, for example, or something like that. So he'll see that, okay, you can write, you can persuade me to buy that shirt, but can you really write to persuade some plant manager to buy my robot? So that's the first important take for me and maybe for other copywriters. So take any work that comes your way. It doesn't matter if it's, just nonsense numbers, $10, $15, $100, $1,000, doesn't matter. If you're in that phase, of course, when you're, David Deutsch, when you're John Carlton, when you're Dan Kennedy, you're not taking any job, you know. But most of us are not at that level. Mm. So take any work you can. Of course, don't work with negative people. You know, if your gut tells you that someone is going to be a difficult client, run away. So don't do it. It's going to cause a lot more pain. That's another thing. You know, people want to do free to build up their portfolio, and the thing about free is that it tends to cause a lot of trouble, because if you pitch someone something for free, they lose value for what you do in their eyes. So if you offer someone to write them a free copy, to do them a free web design, whatever for free, they're going to want a lot more from you. So you're going to get emails at 2 a.m. and then in the morning you're going to get a phone call. Why didn't you answer their email? It was important. Mm. And a bunch of other stuff. The general rule of thumb is the more they pay, the less hassle they are. It's not, of course, 100% rule, but it's experience shows up that's something that stands true. I don't know for you, but for me, anyone who, the more they paid, the less hassle I had. They reach out and said, okay, we need this and this and this. What do you think? Do you think we should do anything differently? Yes, no, doesn't matter. So, okay, when can you deliver? Okay, send us, when you're done, send us your first draft. We'll review it. That's it.
Yeah.
No emails, no phone calls, no SMS. We decided what needs to be done, on what date, and that's it. They don't care.
Yeah, that's important to have that kind of structure, for sure. Yeah. So once you got the client, whoever it is, whether it's one of those free ones that you're just doing to build up your portfolio, get experience, or whether someone's giving you 10 grand or 20 grand to go and write a serious copy, now you need to deliver it, right? So this is what you and I are on this webinar to do, talk about how to actually create that copy. So what we're going to talk about is email copywriting, which is something that we both do, but from what I've seen, you're one of the good ones that I've seen around in the marketplace. otherwise, I wouldn't call on your expertise like this. So that's why I'm so interested to do this. So let's dive in a bit deeper on exactly how you have your email copywriting formula.
The first thing about email, we're going to dive deep into one cool formula that's not mine. I wish it was mine, but I found
that's right,
out
it still
about
works,
it,
yeah.
But it's awesome. The first thing you need to know about email copywriting is that contrary to common belief, email is not designed to sell anything else but a click.
Mm.
So with when you write email, don't think about selling your product. Mm. Okay, sure, if it's something that's a free offer or registration for the webinar, that can be done. But in general, your email, the goal of your email is to get a click from a person and take them to a landing page, to a sales page, to a video where you actually are making that sale. Because maybe in, let's say, older times, it's 10, 15 years ago, maybe you could do something to sell over email, because everybody read their emails on their desktop. Now people are reading their emails on a bus while they travel, they lying in bed, when they're on the toilet. I mean, they read emails on their mobile phones.
Yeah.
So, doesn't matter how interesting your email are, eventually your thumb is going to tired of doing this to read and trying to buy. And when you get there, you know, okay, I don't want to do this now. I'll save it for later. And that later comes never. But when you take them to a sales page, first you have more space and more control over how you're going to deliver your message. So in email, you can't use video, you can't use anything else other than text. I don't like HTML in my emails, so I use plain. Yeah. I use plain text. It looks like more friendly. So you have limited options in your email, but on a dedicated page, you have full control over how you're going to present that sales page. Are you going to have multiple videos? Are you going to have demos? Are you going to have pop-ups? Are you going to have GIFs? Whatever. You have full control there. Also, when you make them click on the link to continue consuming your message, you also started what Cialdini calls a micro commitment. You know, they clicked. They show their interest. You can track them in your email marketing software. You can track them who clicked on a specific link, so you know that they are interested in that topic. So you can put them in another segment of your list and maybe follow up with some other targeted messages. You can retarget them on Facebook, on Google, because you have pixel on your dedicated page. Since they started to read, they're more compelled to finish the reading because they already started that consumption process. Let's call it like that. So the first thing is to understand that email call of the email is, if you're talking about sales emails, I'm not talking about the content emails, but let's say something similar applies. The goal of a sales email is to sell the click and to take them to a dedicated page. Other than that, mostly any other good rule of thumb of copywriting applies. So you have to know your audience and who are you writing for and who are you writing to. These are very important things. If you don't know your audience, you're going to have a very tough time selling even that one click. You're going to have a tough time getting them to open your email. Yeah. Because if you don't know who you're writing for, there's no way that you're going to create a compelling headline, subject headline for your email. Because when you write a headline for a landing page, for a sales page, your job is pretty easy. You have as many characters and words as you want. You know, you can make headline like this.
Yeah.
That's up to you. But in email, you have very limited number of characters you can use to persuade people to open them. You can do that by curiosity type of headlines, or you can do on benefit. We did some tests in Amazing. It turns out that benefits, of course, work. It doesn't mean that curiosity don't work, but you really need to strike the exact moment, the exact message with that curiosity to spike their interest. You know, a lot of things need to fit in order for curiosity to work. One of the emails that worked for us and that was based on curiosity had a subject line: "Last night's Game of Thrones was da da da."
Yeah.
First it was Monday. It was day after the premiere of the new episode of the Game of Thrones. We know that almost everybody watches and loves Game of Thrones. So, and we had a way to connect the Game of Thrones and the message and the offer we had in that email. So a lot of things fitted in there. So it really worked. Worked well, but these are rare cases. In most cases, all of our tests shown, and from what I read on different blogs and newsletters, that's what other people experience too. Benefit-driven subject lines work better than curiosity-based email.
Yeah, that's really fascinating, and it could vary, you know, market by market, list by list, as to what works better. So. Like anything we say, this is no guarantee of results. You know, this is just our experiences and our stories about what we found that works.
Yeah.
In all likelihood, they should work for people who take action. I think that's the key.
Yeah.
So please, what's the first step in your email copywriting for me to when you sit down to write an email sequence.
Okay, first introduction to the entire formula. It is a formula called Viking Velociraptor, or VV. It's created by Colin Theriot from the Cult of Copy Facebook group, and I believe he has a membership site or something. It's a great group anyway for all copywriters to be in there. They're great people. I met you there, so there are great people in that group. So, and there's a lot of useful information, and Colin really tries to make that group a useful place for all copywriters. So there's no BS, there's no self-promotion or something like that. So I advise every copywriter to look for it on Facebook. Anyway, the guy that I work with in amazing.com, Dr. Charles Livingston, great guy. He sent me that formula and asked me if I can write an email copy, because he was a tech guy responsible for emails. He's like an optimization expert. And he asked me if I can write one or two emails based on that formula to see how it will work. You know, as I told earlier, I tend to not care much about formulas anymore. So I was a little, you know, hesitant, but you know, he was very, very persuasive, and he played on that friendship card. Oh, come on, you know, try it. You know, what's the worst that can happen? You know, write one with that formula, and then write one whatever you see fit, and we'll see what works. So I created the email based on that formula. And what I found out is not just that my email was a lot easier to write, because this formula is not tactical. It's just really the kind of messages you need in your email to persuade people. It's not strict formula, so you can mix things up and down. So it's really it's really the importance of having those messages and the order of these messages. So it's really easy to write. It's really fun to write. It's very fast to write. And for some reason, when I look at that formula, when I had it in front of me, for some reason, the idea for the lead was you know, just like this. You know, it was in my head like this for some reason. I don't know. Maybe it's because it makes you think in a different way. And the formula is very simple. We're not going to spend a lot of time in it. I'm going to go through the formula, and then I'd like to show you an email that I wrote based on that formula that performed really, really well. So that formula has five steps. The email Viking Velociraptor formula has nothing to do with Vikings. It has nothing to do with Velociraptors. It's as Colin
it's
says,
a cool,
you know,
name though.
Yeah. He needed something that people would take. Wait, what?
Yeah. No,
he wanted that effect, and you know, it was funny for him. So
he's got
doesn't
it.
Have, you can call it 5V if it's more easier for you. So the first thing is verify. Second step is validate. Third is vantage. Fourth is values. And fifth, villains. So in the first step, verify step, you want to start your message. Of course, goes without saying, but this applies to any other type of copy, not just emails. But I used it only on emails, so that's what I'm focusing on here. You're starting your message with something that people already know, they already understand, they already heard, they already seen, they already think. So you're, I can't remember, was it Eugene Schwartz that said, or Rick Schwab, that you can't create new conversation in people's heads, you can just jump into the conversation that is already taking
I think
head.
Robert Collier said enter the conversation they're already having in their own mind.
That's the first step. You're entering that conversation with something they already know, they already trust, they already like, all they already experience. So they don't have that initial resistance. You know, they're not resistant to the message that you're trying to eventually put in front of their eyes and in their mind. So you're starting with something that's familiar for them, and they like it. The second is to validate, of course, to validate their emotional reactions, to validate their way of thinking, to validate their excuses, to validate whatever they feel that is related, of course, to the main message that you want to put in front of them. So after you validated their reactions and their way of thinking, after that it's the vantage section, where you basically just tell what you wanted to tell them in the first place. So if it's a content, you just say what content. What are you going to teach them? What are you going to show them? So you just tell them that. Yeah. It's basic body copy of the content. If it's a sales message, you make your sales arguments here. So basic copywriting stuff. When you do that, you're going into values. So you want to make sure to build a stronger bond, to build a bridge of trust with them, and to reinforce your relationship with them by expressing common values. Of course, everything, I think this goes without saying, but all this is tied to what you're trying to make them do at the end. So you're not talking about puppies if you're selling, I don't know, some bottled water or something, if you can't tie it together. So this has to be, has to have some relation with what you're trying to eventually do. So you want to reinforce your relationship with them by expressing common values, what you stand for, what your company stands for, what they stand for. So you just in the second step, you try to validate their way of thinking. This is just one step further where you're trying to connect with them. You want them to say, yeah, I agree with this guy. He understands me. We're for the same things. We have common values. We're on the same ground. I like this guy. I want to see what his offering, what he has to say. And the fifth step, which is optional, you can use either this fourth with values, or you can build that bridge of trust by showing them that you are on their side. With the common villains that you want to help them to attack. So if you're helping them, you know, if you're telling them, if it's some nutritional product, you know, they're lying to you, these big companies, they're putting too much sugar inside the food, but we are here to help you to reduce your whatever.
So
you can either play on the card of values, or you can either play on the card of villains, or you can do both. So it's the thing. The goal here is to expand that relationship that you started building in the first two paragraphs or the first paragraph. Continue that, to strengthen that bond that you started to build. So they could say, okay, I really like this guy, or I like this company. You know, I like to see what do I have to say on that page, on that link where they have to click. When you finish all that, you are just only left with call to action. So nothing besides it. So it's very simple. So you validate your state, their state. You verify their emotional response. You connect with them on the emotional level. You tell them what you wanted to tell them, or to teach them, or to show them, and you play on the card of the common values or the common villains that you're helping them to defeat. And after that, you're taking them to a sales page, to a landing page, to a content page, to a video, whatever, where they can consume more, and you're going to try to sell them on your main thing, your product, your service, whatever.
Yeah.
I'd like to show you an email, so we just so we don't just leave this.
Yeah, I'd love to see something that you've actually written.
Okay, let me just see. How do I share? Share screen. Okay, so I need.
I'll let you know when I can see it. Something's okay. Coming. Yep, I can see you now.
Okay, you should see the email I wrote for the Amazing. So the subject line was last night's Game of Thrones was dot dot dot. The pre-header was not the type of spoiler you might expect. So the offer was the Amazing.com did their annual summit, and they already sold out their spots on the hotel, so they wanted to sell digital pass, and this email was used to take people to a sales page and to sell them on that digital pass for their summit. So should I read it, or how do you want me to?
Yeah, please go ahead.
Okay,
so we have time here.
So as I said, you're starting with something that they already know, they already seen, they already like, with something that's familiar to them. As I said, a lot of people love Game of Thrones, and this email was sent on Monday, the day after, or the morning after the Game of Thrones episode.
So it's very timely.
Yeah, it's very timely. So that's why this curiosity headline worked. If it was any other day, it wouldn't work, probably.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, Game of Thrones is a phenomenon. You can't use any TV show. You know, Game of Thrones.
Yeah, but you got the timing right, because it's the morning after the TV show, around the water cooler at work. You know, you're exactly talking about this anyway. So that's where you've entered the conversation, that it's already in their own mind.
Exactly. That's the point. So how do we start email? Did you watch last night's episode of GOT? Well, it was, and then these dashes go here. Especially that scene where, and you know, nothing. So the thing is, we this is left here on purpose. This was the way in email, so we didn't want to spoil anything. Yeah. So no, of course I'm not going to spoil it to you. I hate when people do that to me, and I'm sure you hate the same. But what I am going to spoil you is what you can expect at this year's Amazing Seller Summit. So we try to tie that.
Yeah, that's nicely tied in. Yeah.
Yeah. So the first part is to verify, you know, to open with the conversation that they already have in their mind. Thankfully, this email was written on Friday and sent on Monday. So luckily, the Sunday episode was really amazing, yeah, and something that everybody talked about.
Yeah.
So this fit perfectly. So you start with something that they're familiar with, they know with, the conversation that's already taking place in their mind. After that, this is that verifying that little bit of that validate stage. I know it when you hate when people spoil things for you. I hate the same. So it's just one sentence. I could maybe, for some different type of product, a different type of lead, maybe I could do it a paragraph or, you know, longer than that. But here, it only needed this one sentence. You know, you thought I was going to spoil to you. I didn't. So, but then here's this main part, what I want to tell them about. I want to tell them about our summit. So that part, so you see that first two steps to verify and to validate took only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 sentences. So, but here, if you're a GOT fan, you say, oh yeah, that's nice. You know, that's cool. This guy loves Game of Thrones and he's not going to spoil it to me. You know, I like this. I'm going to see what this is about. And since the list is targeted, on our list, there are people who are interested in starting selling on Amazon. This is targeted to them, and it's really a home run. So from that moment, I'm telling them what's my initial goal to tell them. So there's no need to read that. So I'm selling my digital access pass. What you're going to get. So standard email, and then here's the villain part. So you see, there are a lot of predators out there, ever since people realized that Amazon is a huge opportunity to build a real business and live the life you truly want and deserve, there is an exponential growth of people who want to take advantage of you. So that there's our enemy. There are our villains and you see that too on ads, on Facebook feeds, and everywhere. There's a million and one guy who's teaching you how to how to sell you things, and they probably never sold a thing in their life in person, and yet on Amazon, and they're teaching you.
Yeah.
So these are people who most likely never started their own Amazon business, or maybe started, made a few sales, and that's it. And now these people want to sell you books, courses, workshops, etc., to teach you how you can run and grow your own Amazon business. People who never sold more than a few $1,000s worth of stuff on Amazon, if they sold any, are trying to lure you into their masterminds and courses for thousands of dollars. That's not fair. That's not ethical. Now we're going to values a little bit. So we have a little bit of values. We're standing for something together. So that's not the right way to build a business. The people who can show you how to run and grow your business are the people who are doing it every single day, who are in the trenches, who put their money where their mouth is. And these people are going to be at the 2017 Amazing Seller Summit, and they're going to share with you their best. And then I'm selling the click. So to check out more about the summit, see who the speakers are, and to secure your digital access pass, click here. So that's the entire email that is based on that formula that I talked about. So it's very simple. As I said, it's about the message that you want to share with people, not the structure, or not the words that you'll use. There are probably better words than these to make that point and to present that message. But these worked perfectly at that exact moment for this exact type of product. If it was any other product, it wouldn't work. If it's any other time, it wouldn't work.
Yeah, that's true what you say. With both of our copy and everyone on the call probably as well, you know, it's always a chance to edit. You know, if you can go back and edit later, you'll change a lot of words, which I do. there's probably bits and pieces in here which you would probably do differently, you know, if you were to go back in the edit the email now. But it worked, so you don't need to. I mean, what you're doing here, which I love, is you're using things that scream rather than whisper, you know. And that means if you were to swap out a couple of words, if you were to use words that would might supposedly be better at selling people, an individual word is something that whispers. You know, if you were to split test two emails with just one word change, it wouldn't be worth it at all, because you'd hardly get any difference in results.
Exactly.
What you're doing here is you're doing the main core offer, you're doing the strategy that screams rather than whispers. That's why this works.
Yeah. And if I would do some different lead, for example, if I wouldn't tie this message for Game of Thrones, maybe I would get better results. But again, this is strategic thing to test. And it has nothing to do with, as you said, with tactical changes, with words, you know. You know when that might be matter. If the list would be 5 million people, and we split test to 2.5 million people each, then one word or two words might make a change. But with the size of I'm not really sure the approximate size of the amazing list. I'm not their tech guy, but it's surely a few hundred thousand people. It really doesn't make statistical sense to do these kinds of this kind of A/B testing. That this perfectly ties with what I said at the beginning. So it doesn't matter what color of your button on your landing page is if you have 100 people visiting your page. It won't make any difference. That slight color change could bring maybe a fraction of a percent increase. But if you have 1,000 people visiting, that's nothing. Yeah. If you have 10 million visitors, that could be something. Hmm. But if you're having 1,000, 10,000, that doesn't mean anything. You're just wasting time on expensive tools, on expensive people who are going to who know how to read this data and how to implement things. So you're wasting money more than you're going to earn through that small change.
Yeah,
so
exactly right.
Strategy over tactics. That's what's most important. Of course, in this email, a few things fit perfectly, as you said. So it's the message screams. Timing is perfect. The list is targeted. So everything, fitted nicely here. But the point is that the formula that I used to write it, and I'm really thankful for my friend, if he's watching this, I'm thanking him publicly to Dr. Charles Livingston for making me to write an email with this formula, because it was very simple. The way I thought about this email was, first step is, where if I start with something they already know, what do they know? So this email is going on Monday. Game of Thrones was on Sunday. People are going to talk about it. Okay, let's see how can I tie this. So that's exactly how I started writing this email. This is not some creativity, a strike of creativity, or I was sitting in my chair drinking beer and then suddenly I realized. No, I said, okay, first step is, what do they already know? What do they know that I can tie in with the final offer, with the end goal in mind? So the second step was obvious. Okay, so how can I, validate that feeling? Okay, they hate spoilers. We all hate spoilers. Okay, let's do that. Then explain the main thing. Can you, for example, imagine that this part doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So the email starts from July 26, 28. You have the opportunity to join thousands of Amazon sellers for 3 incredible days in Las Vegas, Nevada, in the Venetian Hotel. Okay, for some people, that might be interesting. For most people, it would be, oh, come on.
Yeah, you're just trying to sell me.
Yeah, but this way, Game of Thrones, what's he doing here? What's the point? Let's see what he's up to. So you're making that slow transition into your message. So this part was easy. That was something that I was going to write anyway. So that's the classic offer.
Yeah.
And then I said, villains. Who are the villains here? Okay, these are all. And I love Ryan Lee's emails. I'm on his email list, and I love the way he bashes all these online business gurus that never had a business in their lives, yet selling expensive masterminds.
Yeah.
So I got the idea from him. So who's the villain here? Yeah, of course, the villains are the people who are trying to sell you expensive stuff only because this is a hot trend. So, okay, let's use that. So I use that. Values. What do we stand for? We want an ethical business, we want fair business. We want to be true to each other. So this was all just answering these questions that are in this formula, which, as I said at the beginning, made the writing of this email both easy, fun, and fast. This email took no more than hour to write, and maybe half an hour or hour to edit.
Yeah, cool.
It was really, really, really fast, at least for my standards. Maybe someone could do it faster, I don't know. But for me, it was really, really fast.
That's really useful for any copywriter, not just beginners. I mean, there's days where I sit down at the computer and not in the zone and you're just not feeling it. And then it's like getting blood out of a stone, trying to write like half decent copy. That's when you reach the formulas. That's when you need something to follow ABC, like these 5 V's so you can get the stuff down on paper. Because I saw one of my friends here in LA, posted a screenshot of his computer. He's writing a book or something. It just says introduction at the top. And he's like, oh, I'm staring at a blank piece of paper here. What do I do? He could be watching this, you know, because you've got the formula here that it gives you the structure. It basically tells you what to write. So you're never starting from a blank piece of paper.
Yeah, yeah, that's the point. Never to stop from the blank piece of paper. For the last few weeks or maybe a month or two, I'm really started to, you know, really get into the writing in general. So
yeah.
I'm not going to be a writer. I don't plan to write a novel, but I want to see how great writers think. And I bought from masterclass.com, I bought courses from James Patterson, from David Mamet, from Aaron Sorkin. I don't think that anyone else had.
I think they're the main ones that I know of on masterclass.com. I can't think of another one for writing. Aaron is a screenplay one.
Yes. Maybe it's Shonda Rhimes, but I don't know if it's available.
I'm not sure of all the latest ones. I know they've added a bunch more, but for writing, you've covered them. Yeah.
And I was going through for David Mamet's masterclass and James Patterson's class, and they both said, you know, very cool things about writing. It's start. You don't have to start from the beginning. Start at the end. Start at the middle. But start. You know, don't stare at a blank piece of paper. Just start writing something, and then you're going to build character forward. You're going to build a story backwards. Doesn't matter. But start. Don't stare at the blank screen. And it's not just writers. I also, my friend is a musician, and he bought Hans Zimmer's course on music production. He basically tells you the same thing, you know, start, you know, put your fingers on the keyboard and see what comes out. You're going to tweak it later, but, you know, put your fingers on the keyboard.
Yeah, that's it.
So that applies here, you know, put your fingers on the goddamn keyboard, start writing something, start writing the offer. So write just the offer, write call to action, signature, whatever. Just start writing and start writing on separate piece of paper. So it doesn't matter. You're going to assemble them later. No one ever said that you have to write your sales message from start to end.
That's a really good point, because there will be people watching this who might be thinking, I'm not creative to just to come up with an intro to an email like that. I love what you said about just starting with the offer, starting with the CTA, because as trained copywriters, we know how to do that stuff. It's very easy.
Yeah.
Where it gets a little bit more of an art form is with this intro that you've done. It's made easier with the formula, but the basics that we know how to write are things like the offer and CTA. So that's a good place for beginning copywriters to start.
Yeah, yeah, of course. I mean, just start. It's rarely that you'll see your first draft published somewhere. So far, maybe two or three times I had to send my first draft as a final draft because the deadline was
yeah,
really...
Yeah, deadlines do that sometimes.
Yeah, but that's not happening often. These are few cases here and there. But most times, your first draft is going to be seen only by you. So you're the one who's going to see it. You're going to edit it. And again, one cool thing that I heard from David Mamet is if you're not how did he put it? Okay, I'm going to paraphrase it. Time here. So if you're not embarrassed to the gut with your first version of something, you did something wrong.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if a world-class drama writer tells you that, so, you know, you're only left to comply with that.
Interesting, yeah. I agree with that too. So, where to next for copywriters? If they have this formula, can you summarize that formula again in case I didn't take notes.
Okay, so very simple. These are five steps. First step is to verify. I'm saying as Colin said that.
Sure.
So verify meaning start your message, your email copy. Start it with something that they already know, they already have seen, heard, observed. They already think. So starting with something that's familiar to them, and they already accepted that in their mind. So I don't know. You can start with, the crime rates in all over the world are increasing. I mean, that's a fact that you all know. So you don't have resistance to that information, to that message.
Yeah, yeah.
How are you going to tie that with your offer? That's another thing. But you're going to start with something that they agree with.
Mm.
You don't want to start your message by opposing them. Making them say no. You want them to say, yeah, that's right. I like that. So they could continue on.
Yeah.
The second step is to validate their emotional gut reaction to that, what you stated in the first place. So, most things you can buy in your grocery store are bad for your health. And I know you're pissed off about it. You know that you can't go to, if you want to be healthy, you can't go to a local grocery shop or your local market and to buy, you know, healthy stuff. And I know that is pissing you off that you can do it, you know, something like that. You're verifying, you're confirming their view on the world and on what you already told them in your first part. So you want again to agree with them. Yes, you are right. It's not your fault. Yes, they are lying to you. Yes, they, you know, you want to agree with them. The first step is you just tell them what you wanted to tell them in your message. So it's not something specific here. So you just, if it's a content, you just share that content in the third part. If it's as you see, a sales message, you just state your offer in that third part. So it's not, there's no some specific advice, you know, there. The fourth step is to build that stronger connection with the common values that you have with them. And in the fifth step, that to even deeper build that relationship is to show them that you're the same team against the common villains, against the common enemy. So this is a very simple explanation. You can find more again in Colin's group. He talks about there's discussion in the cult of copy for copywriters on this, and there are some great examples there. So you can use that group to expand your knowledge on this. But the best way to expand your knowledge on anything is to do it.
Yeah.
To try it, to do it, to screw it up, to do it again, to screw it up, and to do it successfully the next time. So that's the best way you learn something.
Yeah, that's something that I definitely agree with as well. You know, you learn by doing.
Okay, can I stop sharing my screen?
Yeah, go ahead. Because we're just about done here now. So what I was saying was that's how I just kept going and kept learning. And no doubt it is you too as well. So this just comes back to what we were talking about at the start of the webinar, where you start out learning all the things, you read the books, you buy the courses, and you go to the seminars, but that'll only take you so far. Especially with an activity like writing, the best way to do it is to do it. So that's the secret that not enough people understand. You know, in your study on writing, you may have come across a book by Stephen King called On Writing. That's where he talks about his writing process. And one of the things that he says in there is a writer writes every day, and he writes every day. He may not now, I'm not sure, because I'm not sure how old he is now, but I know he's still very productive. But he writes just about every day. He writes on Christmas, you know, he writes on holidays, vacation, everything. So a writer writes every day. So if you're not writing every day, you know, are you a writer, a copywriter or otherwise? So
Is that a profession or a hobby?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, a hobby you might do once a week. But exactly. If you just write once a week, that's not really enough to get any traction.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. So
one thing with copywriting, I want to wrap up this with that point. Copywriting and marketing in general is not an exact science. No, it's not 2 + 2 = 4.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a mix of things that statistically have more chance to succeed than others.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that if something didn't work for me, it doesn't mean it won't work for you. But if it has a lot more chance to fail than to succeed.
Yeah.
So you have to try. You have to rely on other people's experiences. So, of course, you read Eugene Schwartz, Wick Schwab, but you don't take that for granted. You know, these people tested it, and they themselves, they say, okay, this is what we discovered to work for us. It doesn't mean it's going to work for you. That's it for us and for 1,000 other people. But that's not 100% guarantee that it will work for you. So this is not the exact sense. Nobody can tell you, look, put this message here, put this word here, and your copy will kill it. It doesn't work like that. You have to test it. You have to try it. But most importantly, you have to be willing to learn over time, to build that experience. And from that experience, the clarity will emerge.
Yeah, nobody hits it out of the park every time. I mean, I remember once, I went to a seminar in Australia and in Sydney, and I was late. And there was only one seat left up the front. And the older guy next to me turned to me and said, "So when are you speaking?" And I realized that I'd the only seat that I'd been able to find was actually in the speakers section that was right up the front of the seminar. And it turned out later that because I was a new copywriter, I didn't recognize that I was actually sitting next to Ted Nicholas, who's sold billions of dollars. I don't know how high the count is now for himself and his client. And he said to even I don't hit it out of the park every time. Probably 7 out of 10 of the ads that I write are flops or don't make enough money or don't to get the response that I was hoping for. But the 3 out of the 10 are the ones that make up for all the rest. So even legends like that, you know, they never hit it out of the park every time. But formulas like the one that you've given us today give you that highest probability of success. That's what I look for in anything, a high probability of success. You know, has someone done it before? Has it been proven, you know, out there in the field in different niches? Does it ring true and make sense as an experienced writer? You know, I can see that this makes perfect sense, and there's no reason why it wouldn't work in multiple markets. Some of which you obviously haven't tested yet, so I can see that it would work. So that's the kind of criteria you need to think about when you're evaluating a formula like that. Any sort of information you've got to increase your ability as a writer. Do you have anything else to add to the formula today?
Just another example to what you said. It's the same thing if you go to an Ivy League school. So going to Harvard, Princeton doesn't 100% guarantee that you're going to have a successful career, but it has maybe 85% chance that you're going to have a successful life and career after you graduate. So it's nothing is 100% sure, but as you said, you're looking for that high probability of succeeding.
Yeah, definitely. That's what it's all about. And when you follow formulas like that, you know, your chance of success increase exponentially, because you've trod the path, you've shown the way how to do it. He's shown something that works, and we can just model that and take inspiration from it. So on the subject of actually modeling something that works, we've got something really awesome for you. As a thank you for sticking around on this call today, because it's up over an hour or so already. And quite frankly, we've only just scratched the surface of what we can do with email marketing. We just analyzed one email from Mladen, and while that's got a ton of lessons in itself, and will transform just about any writer's work, there's still a gap between the knowledge that you've got today and the actual implementation of this information in your own business for your clients or for your employer, whatever your situation is. That's why Mladen and I have actually been working together behind the scenes in the lead up to recording this, because we wanted to do something really special for you. And we've got kind of a co-creation that we've got. It's based around my existing course. It's called A Funnel Influence. And that's basically about building the funnels and doing the email copywriting for the funnels. And all that kind of stuff based on what I've done with Mindvalley over the years. Because when I started at Mindvalley in 2015, that was at an older stage of their marketing model. So what I did was I went in to head up the funnel building team here at Mindvalley, and I can't give away the actual revenue figures for the company, but I can show you graphs that show the revenue actually tripling over the course of 2016, and it's kept going up. And the secret that we've had funnels that done seven figures on autopilot, which means the sales coming in all the time. We put them on Facebook and Google Ads, and people just come in and sign up for the webinar and sign up for the free thing, and they buy later on down the track. And some of those funnels, just one funnel, was produced up to $1.2 million in 2016. Launches that have done seven figures as well. And Mladen's had similar success at Amazon.com. That's why we're working together on this. So funnel influence is based on all that work. It's how to put everything together and do the funnels and do the strategy. Now, where Mladen has added to that is with his email copywriting formulas, like the one you've seen today, other examples and other ways of writing emails. He's got a bunch of material for that in as well. So that's why we put that together for you. It's for this webinar only, special price. All the details are below on this page. So everything's there that you need to know. Mladen's, you've got stuff on your email copywriting here, plenty of samples, plenty of procedures, how to write those, as well as Facebook advertising. You've done a lot of Facebook ads very successfully. So that's where both sides of the content balance out. So this is the complete course. You have the funnels and you have the copywriting, you have the ads. It's all there for you. All the details are below this video on the page, so check them out there. We've also done a special price for you, which is only available to you guys right now. So keep this page to yourself. So it's only as a reward for you guys for sticking with us for like an hour and 15 minutes or whatever it's up to you now. So we do appreciate you doing that for us. And that's why I reward you. I mean, you can take what you've learned here and run with it and be successful. So the information is very valuable that Mladen's shared today. But when you really want to get the shortcut, we want to take the fast track. You want to see everything that's put together, samples and videos and everything. As you can see on the page below, this is the fast track to leveling up. So when you want to take that shortcut, click the add to cart button below and we'll see you on the other side. So um, Mlad and I will see you on the side as well. So thank you for sharing everything that you have today, Mlad. It's been really valuable. I've learned a lot, and I'll certainly be going over this recording again. And this time I'll be taking a bunch of notes. It was funny when I sat next to Ted Nicholas at the seminar in Sydney. The first thing I noticed before I recognized who it was, is he was taking pages and pages of notes. And this was at one of those multi-speaker pitch fest seminars where half the speakers you'd never heard of before. But he was sitting there learning from every single one of them, writing tons of notes. Neater handwriting than mine, although that's pretty easy. But he's the $7 billion man, or whatever, however many billion it is, after I think that the clock keeps kind of ticking over on that. He's a $7 billion man because he's an eternal student. Yeah. So that's why he's successful. That's why Mladen is successful. And that's why I'm successful, because I still pay for coaching. I still pay for courses. And we both do. And that's why we're successful. So, yeah, thank you for sharing that. I can't thank you enough for that. It's very valuable. I appreciate it. We'll definitely have to do this again sometime.
Thank you, Brian, for having me. Thanks to all the people who've been with us here in this webinar. And just one thing to tie on this that you said at the end, that the most successful people are eternal students. You know, the most amazing things in your life are going to happen when you realize that you're not the smartest person in the room or in the world. So there's always someone smarter than you. There is always someone who's more successful than you. And if you're smart enough to recognize that and to be willing and to be able to learn from that person, great things are going to happen to you. I mean, I'm not the best copywriter in the world. I mean, if I were, I'd probably hang out with John Carlton and Clayton Makepeace. You know, they would invite me in their masterminds and everything, but that's not happening yet. So the thing is, even though I'm not the best copywriter in the world, or I don't write the best headlines in the world, there is maybe this one thing that you can learn from me. You know, and even if you learn that one thing, it's enough. You know, if you're smart enough to learn it, I'm going to learn something from someone else who is maybe worse copywriter than I am, but he has one skill that I can learn from him.
Yeah.
You know, if you're smart enough to hear and to listen, great things are going to happen to your career, to your life, and eventually, of course, to your bank account.
Yeah, that's it. That's why Ted Nicholas wasn't taking notes on some guy because he wanted to learn how to make $100,000 a year, like the speaker was probably doing. He's just looking for that one thing that he could take away from that
whole presentation. Maybe he saw, you see, that's a great thing. He said that, and he had that thing on a slide. That was perfect. You know, I'm going to write that. So one thing.
Yeah, that's why that's why people should. If you're still watching now, then your chances of success are much greater than most people, because you're willing to see something through to the end. You're willing to wait until you've got to pick up that one thing that makes it all worth it. So, and you're the type of person who will really benefit from the offer that we've got below on the page as well. So thanks again, Vladen.
We're like Marvel movie. You know, the best thing is after the credits.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, make him wait in the cinema. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So, yeah, so I appreciate that. We'll definitely have to do this again. I've learned a lot.
I'll be glad to do it.
Yeah. We'll keep the guys tuned, and we'll do something special for the customers as well.
Okay, great. Right. Thank you, Brian, once again, and thank to all people who've been here from here with us this whole time.
I'm
very honored to be able to speak and to share what I've learned so far with you. It's a great honor.
Yeah, I'm honored and humbled to share this with you guys. So thanks again for sticking around, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to Geniuses of Copywriting with Brian Casagina. To get the full transcript and all the resources mentioned on today's show, go to www.geniusesofcopywriting.com now.